Excelente.
Welcome, EFR Nation, white nationalists, Christian Identity, British Israel, and all other people who believe truth and justice and trying to expose the genocide of the white race that is going on in the world today. Of course, that genocide is being orchestrated by the international Jew, as most of the listeners of Eurofolk Radio understand. How are you this morning, Pastor Mark? Or actually, in your case, it's evening. It's afternoon here in Chicago and late evening in South Africa. How are you doing, Pastor Martins?
Good evening, Pastor Eli, and also good evening to the listeners. Yes, it is becoming a major crisis in South Africa. In fact, what we find is that there's a lot of hoo-ha amongst Afrikaners. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
The strange thing, on the one hand, the Afrikaners use their organizations to cancel all singing of the song, the hate speech song. That was, in fact, classified as hate speech by the South African Human Rights Commission to sing the song, Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer. Now, something that I have mentioned on this radio station before is that during the elections in 1994, the blacks would sing a song that had the words, one settler, one bullet, which meant that they see all the whites as settlers, even though they were the migrating settlers themselves. For the first 150, 180 years, the whites never saw any black people. They saw people of color, but they never saw black people. Now, during that, the 1994 democratic elections, the song, as I said, was one settler, one bullet, which meant that they intended to kill all the whites.
Right.
It wasn't long after the election that all of a sudden they started singing the song, Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer.
Right.
Now, the blacks did not necessarily know the difference between the Afrikaners and the Boers because of the amalgamation, well, with the unification or the universalism of the four provinces of South Africa, which included the two Boer republics, the Freemasons and the Jews. Wanted to draw a blanket over the Cape Dutch and the Boers exactly in the same way as the Pharisees, the Khazarian Pharisees, infiltrated and by virtue of the secret societies of the day, they amalgamated themselves under the new name Jews. In other words, the Khazarians became infiltrators of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, and they gave them a universalist name of Jews. And that is one of the deceptions which have been translated into so many of the Bibles that have been translated by the Freemasons, and that is the use of the term Jews, which was never a biblical term. It never occurred in the Bible. It never occurred in the original languages, but yet in the translations, they have used the term Jews. Now, in exactly the same way, after the unification, the legal unification of South Africa, they wanted all the whites to be known, or the Afrikaans-speaking whites at least, to be known as Afrikaners. Now, these Afrikaners have, as I've mentioned over the past two or three months, I start.
Hello? Okay, it looks like...
depicts the origin.
Okay, looks like we've got we've got a in and out connection, but please continue. Please continue for now.
I stumbled over the past two or three months. I stumbled across a book which was written by an Englishman or a British man by the name of C.H. Thomas, Charlie Hotel Thomas.
Okay.
And this man wrote the book called The Origin of the Anglo in the extension of the name of this, or the title of this writing, is called The Great 19th. In this book, I have only just started, I haven't read it yet, I haven't had the time, but he very clearly indicates that the whole Anglo-Boer War was a series of deceptions and conspiracy.
Yes. Okay. All right, Pastor. We're just having too many breakups. Let me disconnect. We're having too many breakups, so let me disconnect and call you right back, okay? I'm going to have to ask you to repeat everything you just said, okay? All right, here we go. All right, folks, hang with me here. I'm going to redial Pastor Martin. So this usually solves the problem when we reconnect. And as you probably know, in South Africa, internet service is pretty spotty. They have rolling blackouts and brownouts. Okay, Pastor Martins, are you there? Yes. Okay. You were talking about the difference between, first of all, you talked about the song, and I think everybody heard that, where they changed the lyrics from "one bullet to one white one bullet, one white person," to "kill the farmer, kill the boar," and you implicated that the Afrikaner, the Cape Dutch Freemasons, were actually behind the change in language, not the blacks. Why? Because the farmers are Boer people, not Afrikaners. Although there may be a few Afrikaner farmers. But it's mainly, it became more specific to the Boer people and leaving out the Afrikaners for extermination, right? Is that what you were trying to get across?
Pastor, no, not quite that.
Okay.
Something else that I also need to say, in 1910, with the unification of the Boer republics into the Union of South Africa, of course, which was illegal, the Afrikaners and the Jews and the Freemasons basically took control. Now, one of the things that occurred during the Anglo-Boer War was when the Boers signed the peace treaty, it wasn't a surrender, it was merely an acceptance of the peace treaty based on the principle that they would hand over control of the Boer republics for a period of time while the heat of the war would soothen or would calm down.
Right, okay.
And then the promise was that the Boer republics would go back to the control of the Boers.
Be restored, yes.
Now,
was a lie.
That was right. Part. Now, for a very short period in 1909, the Boer republics did go back to the control of the Boers, but not totally, because they still had the British that were pondering over their shoulders, as well as some Afrikaners. Now, with the unification of the Boer republics into the what was then to be the Union of South Africa, the Afrikaners got full control under Jan Smuts and Louis Botha. Now, those two Freemasons, even though they were Boer generals, they surrendered or they offered their services as Boer generals. However, they were never involved in any of the field battles of any significance. And also,
these two gentlemen were marked not to be shot at. That
okay.
They had special protection by the British, knowing that they were Freemasons and that they were part and parcel of a wider conspiracy or a big conspiracy.
Okay.
They were protected by the British.
I have to stop you right there, because that's exactly what the Jews did in Spain, because the Jews opened the gates of the Spanish Christian city-states to allow the Moor invaders to come into the walled cities. Okay, so they wore yellow armbands. That's when the Jews wore yellow armbands. So when the Moors came in, they knew not to kill a Jew, just to kill Christians. So you're saying that the Boer and this unity of the Boers, the British, and the Afrikaners, the Freemasons, the British Afrikaners against the Boer people, a similar thing took place, is what you're saying.
That's correct, but it goes beyond that. If some of the writings that I found was that the Boers gave special protection to all Freemasonry lodges, and I have stumbled across one particular historian that wrote that it was only the British on two occasions that did not heed to the protection of the Freemason lodges. Now, in this writing, the British writer said he doesn't understand why these two particular Freemasonry lodges were not honored by the British, because the British were in fact instigated by the Freemasons and the Cape Dutch and the Jews. It's quite interesting that they did not honor those Freemason lodges by actually firing at the lodges and also bombing the lodges.
Right.
But in all other cases, the Freemason lodges were protected even by the Boers. And that I find rather disconcerting because, and I think it was a matter of the Boers were being influenced to a very large degree. Remember that Jan Smuts was in fact he was recommended to become the Boers Minister of Justice. Now Jan Smuts was a Freemason, in fact he was an atheist as well, and he was a very keen follower of Charles Darwin's evolution theory.
Right, okay.
In fact Jan Smuts took it one step further. He wrote a book which is recognized across the globe today on holism. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it was a book that actually took Charles Darwin's religion one or two steps further into the so-called holism of things.
Right. Okay.
And it's very obvious that with Jan Smuts having had his education in King's College in England, he was very well educated in this whole chemistry or chemical thing called Freemasonry.
Right.
Because they regarded unto themselves the secrets of chemistry, if you understand what I'm saying.
I think the word you're looking for is alchemy.
Alchemy
mysticism mixed with chemistry. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. Uh-huh. And it was one of the things that he also, that I read about Jan Smuts when he, even as a young schoolboy, he would spend many hours in the field and he would ponder on these things. And that was reading a review on his book on holism.
Okay. Now,
for some reason, Jan Smuts was over and above the fact that he had surrendered his services in the Cape, he moved to Pretoria to set up a small a practice in his what we call in South Africa attorney. I don't know if it's the same. It's most probably something like a solicitor in America. But he set up a solicitor's or an attorney practice in Pretoria, which I find rather strange that a man of his stature, having studied in the King's College in England, that he would surrender his practice in the Cape, which was far more developed and had far greater opportunities for him as an attorney, that he would go and set up in a amongst the Boers to go and set up a practice in Pretoria. And then he was recommended by the Jew Sammy Marx to President Paul Kruger. And President Paul Kruger then appointed Jan Smuts as state solicitor or state attorney, which in effect made him the Minister of Justice. Now, as the Minister of Justice, he then, of course, got himself involved in the military affairs, and he eventually became, he was appointed as a general in the Boer commandos or the Boer army, if I can call it that, because the Boers never had an army.
Right.
And also,
it was a militia. It's a militia. That's what the Boer people actually have, is a militia.
That's right. And then of course, Jan Smuts became somebody with authority because he had the hand of Paul Kruger on his shoulder.
Right.
And when the Boers reached the point where they declared war, Jan Smuts was the man who had actually drafted this declaration of war.
Okay.
Now, can you see that how these things fit together?
Yeah, no, it's when, you're not suggesting a conspiracy, are you?
Of course, I'm suggesting, and in fact, I'm portraying this. I'm putting the pieces together of a jigsaw puzzle that spells out conspiracy from beginning to end. Now, I've been preaching. Stating that this conspiracy, well, for the past nearly 4 years, I have been exposing this conspiracy, even though I didn't have all the facts. And when I discovered this book only about 3 months ago, the book, The Origin of the Anglo-Boer War, where in which the role of the Afrikaner as orchestrator, in fact, as the conductor of this orchestra that orchestrated this agendas, it's agenda upon agenda that was orchestrated against the Boers for the purpose of annihilating and totally wiping out the Boer people
South
Africa.
Yeah,
that is the aim.
Yeah, and here the Boer people could not have realized that the Afrikaners, who were Cape Dutch with an admixture of Edomite blood, because the Dutch Jews had really taken over Holland and sponsored, Cromwell, to invade Britain, okay? So those things were actually going on in Holland while the takeover of South Africa was going on, you know, those Dutch Jews and the Dutch East India Company, all right, settled down in South Africa. And manipulated the Boer people too, and made war against the Boer people in various ways. So, So the Boer people were, let's put it this way, simple, trekkers who wanted to be left alone. They didn't know about these vast conspiracies by the Jews and Freemasons. And so, I agree with you. How could Paul Kruger have fallen for this?
Ask that same question on Facebook. Did he have a lack of insight, of discernment? Obviously, yes, he did. Because there were a number of factors that contributed to this. The Dutch Reformed Church of the Cape, just 2 years before, the onset of the Anglo-Boer War, the Dutch Reformed Church of the Cape sent a commission to President Paul Kruger to allow freedom of belief or religious freedom in the Boer republics. Now, that is one of the things which I believe was a very short-sighted thing of President Paul Kruger.
Okay.
Because the first church that was built was a Islam mosque in Pretoria. Now,
amazing.
It is one of the things that I believe that reveals that the churches are all, it's like,
yes,
hand in glove or glove in hand.
Hidden hand,
Between the Roman Catholic Church and the Islamites, because wherever the one goes, the other one goes. It's very clear that in South Africa, this agenda of Chris Lam has been most probably in consideration since towards the end of the 1800s.
Yes.
Because that was exactly what the Dutch Reformed Church Commission of the Cape intended to do, and that is to have a globalist or a universal freedom of religion. It was not a matter that they wanted only the freedom of building Dutch Reformed churches. They wanted a total universalistic Babylonian type of religious system to be set up in the Boer republics.
Right.
That was part of the downfall.
It sounds like Smuts is to Kruger as Alexander Hamilton was to George Washington, and because Alexander Hamilton was a very good soldier, but once he became part of Washington's cabinet, he began redirecting our economics towards the international bankers, which was the reason we fought the revolution, was to get rid of the international bankers, right?
It's exactly the same.
Yeah,
the same reason why. Why Germany and Hitler?
Yes.
Also, I stumbled across the actual hearing of the Jewish conspiracy against the or to govern the world or to rule the world, and it was a court hearing in one of the it might even have been a Prussian city where a court hearing was before the Anglo-Boer War, before the Second World War, in which the writer actually stated that the Jews need another world war, and that was 2 years prior to the Second World War. Obviously, they're orchestrating the world wars. They're orchestrating every war that is fought, that has been fought over the past 200 to 300 years, as far as I can understand, was in fact enticed and instigated by the Jews.
That is correct.
And in South Africa, the Anglo-Boer War was instigated by Jan Smuts and his cohorts in Cecil John Rhodes, Otto Beit, and others, and also Afrikaners. Of course, Afrikaners played a major role, and the Afrikaner Broederbond played a major role in the orchestration of and the onslaught against the Boers in general, but in particular against the Boer republics, and also even up to today, I've indicated on Facebook just this morning, the Boers have been subjected to the onslaught by Afrikaners ever since their arrival way back in 1657. 1652 was when Jan van Riebeek arrived in the Cape.
Uh-huh.
Of course, being a Cape Dutch, he became a Cape Dutch, and those that followed were Cape Dutch.
Dutch East India Company. That was a business proposition, whereas the Boer people had left Europe to get away from all the strife, the fighting on the mainland. Yes. And the Dutch East India Company followed them, you know, and because that was a good station for the Jewish banksters to ship goods to and from India, that was a good a stopping point, to Cape.
Yeah.
And that's how the Jews got involved. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And they've been exterminating the Boer people ever since.
ever since, Pastor. The sad thing is that the Boers today, they don't know they are Boers. Mm. I have spoken to so many people that they have actually verbally abused me for making this division between the Afrikaners and the Boers, indicating to them that the Afrikaners emanated from the Edomites and the Khazarians.
Right.
And that the Boers were the descendants of the house of Jacob. And they virtually, they go to the point of telling me that they are very proud Afrikaners. Uh-huh. And when I start talking to them and ask them whether they've had ancestors that were involved in the Anglo-Boer War, and it becomes very clear that it's not just the fighters in the Anglo-Boer War that make them Boers, because the Afrikaners were on the British side. They were fighting along with the British in British uniforms. And I've stumbled across an internet site that actually lists the what was called the Soldiers of the Queen.
Hmm.
And it is Afrikaner surnames.
Wow.
And these Soldiers of the Queen were being honored by the Queen for their gallant dealings with the Boers in fighting the Boers, and even to the point where they so many of the concentration camps where the Boers were being held in captivity and in oppressed the women and the children in the concert, and I believe that there were something like 122 concentration camps in South Africa for the women and children. And I discovered just yesterday, I discovered that there were no less than 11 concentration camps in India alone. 11 wow. concentration camps where Boers were being sent to an India alone.
Right.
I never knew that. It was an absolute surprise. I was absolutely surprised by this. And I think there were three in Ceylon, and there was concentration camps on St. Helena Island, and then also in Bermuda, and children, as boys as young as 13 years old. I spent yesterday crying because I mean, my son is 16 years old. Boys of 13 years old being shipped halfway across the globe into the unknown in strange conditions in a ship that took a month and a half to get to Bermuda, and to be separated from his parents, to be separated from his house, to be separated from his country that he was fighting for the freedom of, not even knowing whether he was going to return. And the sad thing, Pastor, more than a year after the signing of the peace treaty, the British, as part of their agreement, now it is not written in the agreement, but it was that the soonest they would return the offshore, what do you call them, people in captivity.
Well, okay.
They would be shipped the soonest back to South Africa. Now, I stumbled across deaths in these concentration camps abroad that was way beyond 14 months after the signing of the peace treaty. In other words, these people were taken to the foreign lands and to the concentration camps abroad with the purpose of exterminating them, not to mm-hmm. necessarily return them. And it is all at the hands of these Afrikaners. Pastor, if I can tell you the feeling that I find that I'm boiling inside.
Oh, I can imagine.
When I start speaking about these Afrikaners, the way in which they have subjugated the Boers over the past, well, it's more than 116 years, because they subjugated the Boers ever since the Boers arrived in the Cape as free burghers. My own, on my father's side, the what we call the stamvader, the the original Martins that came to the Cape, he had no other way of coming to the Cape because he didn't have the money. So he was only allowed to get onto the ship if he could be a soldier and protected the ship, the vessel.
Yes.
And he had to go back to Germany for training to become a soldier before they would allow him to get onto the ship. Mm-hmm. And then when he got onto the ship, of course, he was giving his service as a soldier. When he arrived in the Cape, he was not. He had to work 2 years for the Dutch East Indian Company as a soldier before they would allow him to be what they called naturalized in the Cape. Mm-hmm. When he had completed the 2 years, they said, no ways, he isn't finished yet. He had to go to Mauritius for 2 years. I never knew that. I discovered it in the past few weeks that my ancestral, the first Martins that came into this country as a free burger, had to work for 4 years for the Dutch East Indian Company when he had the agreement was that he could come over by being a protector of the ship and then work for two years for the Dutch East Indian Company. And this is something that I am beginning to investigate as to how these free burgers were in fact exploited by these Cape Dutch. And to this day, Pastor, if you consider how many of these Cape Dutch have risen out as super Afrikaners, there are thousands of them across the globe. They, I'm thinking about one that this national, remember we spoke about Naspers, that refused to publicize the attacks on farmers. Now this owner, this Afrikaner who owns this organization, he has massive shares in Chinese cell phone industry. He has massive shares in Russia. He has massive shares across the globe. But he is, as an Afrikaner with an ancestral heritage and links to the Khazarian Jews, that makes him a Jew. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you've ever stumbled across a person by the name of Hewitt. I think he's called Michael Hewitt or James Hewitt. I found something on the internet from him that says Afrikaner is a code word for Jew. And that I so staunchly believe because I see it daily, the way in which they exploit the Boers, the way in which they exploit what I call the Boer sentiment. They exploit, and this is exactly what the AfriForum, I've spoken about AfriForum, this Afrikaner organization that when the South African Human Rights Commission had indicated that the singing of the song "Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer" was illegal because it's hate speech. It was classified as hate speech. AfriForum went and they took Julius Malema to court for the purpose. Well, they indicated people should please contribute towards the covering of the legal and the court costs to take Julius Malema to task. When it became evident clear that the judge was going to rule in their favor for taking Julius Malema, in fact, to take him to court and have him punished. But then AfriForum's, and even the Transvaal Agricultural Union, now that the Transvaal Agricultural Union is an organization for the Boer or for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you consider that the farmers are
almost exclusively Boers.
Pastor, that is where many people make a mistake. Okay. You must remember that with the union or the unification of South Africa, thousands upon thousands of Boers that were farmers in the Boer republics were
displaced.
They were disowned.
Displaced.
They were displaced from their farms. Their farms, they were disowned from their farms.
Okay.
And those farms were then dished out to those
Afrikaners. I see.
Who participated in the genocide against the Boer women and children.
Okay.
Now, and all right. And that was at the time when the voortrekkers, those that we spoke or they spoke about the Great Trek. That was when the Boers started going into the inner areas of the land or the country.
Right.
And the great trek, and they were these people that did that. The Boers that went on this great trek were called trekkers, not voortrekkers.
Mm.
Now, when the unification of the Boer republics occurred in 1910, they Jan Smuts and Louis Botha then set up this whole thing of disowning so many of the Boers from their farms and dishing out those farms to the Cape Dutch.
Yes, and that, I see. Okay.
That became the so-called the Naaltrek, the post-trek, as opposed to the pre-trek. The pre-trek, the voortrekkers, but then they realized they was going to create a division between the so-called trekkers, and they just stuck with the name the voortrekkers.
I see.
Because
I see.
It suited their agenda, but... Yeah. The other thing that one must also state at this point, Pastor, sorry, I'm talking a lot on this now, and most probably you had a different avenue you wanted this conversation
to
follow.
No, we're okay. Yeah, go ahead.
But the whole idea of the Cape Dutch, now remember that Jan Smuts was a Cape Dutch that offered his services as a minister of justice, but then he became... And Louis Botha became the prime minister of the day. And, of course, Jan Smuts was his second in charge. Now, they then ensured that with every election, now that was the other thing, elections would then be taken on the same principles as the Westminster system, the Westminster political system. And with moving of so many of the Cape Dutch into the Boer Republics, they ensured that they would be re-elected whenever there was an election, that Jan Smuts and Louis Botha would be elected.
Okay. Let me just interject here, because this is the process by which the Rothschilds populated South Africa with British emigres, okay? And they did this deliberately in order to ultimately disenfranchise the Boer people, not just by military means, but by outpopulating the Boer people, outvoting them, and then the Boer people kept on trekking further and further away from Cape Town to get away from these Cape Dutch and the British, who now had joined the Cape Dutch, and those two people together are referred to today as the Afrikaners, correct?
That's correct,
Pastor. Oh, okay. All right. Here, let me just say, and keep your thought in mind, because I want to interject here from the book, Queen Victoria, Stripped Bare by Emeritus Psychologist by Con Kruger, C-O-N Kruger. And I'm trying to find a page here. I can't find the page number. It's in the middle of the book. Queen Victoria died late January 1901. We're going to back up a little bit to the Anglo-Boer Wars here. The British junta in charge of the Anglo-Boer War, initially against the last commands of Her Majesty, or probably against, maybe he means against the commands of Her Majesty, in early March 1901, had offered the Boer Afrikaners, and I think he's referring to the Boer people here as Boer slash or hyphen Afrikaners, by which he means Boers per se. Offered the Boer people conditions for surrender. It excluded their independence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pastor, which article are you reading from at the moment?
This is a review of a book entitled Queen Victoria, Stripped Bare by Emeritus Psychologist. I'll send you the link momentarily, but let me finish this quote. Now, the Boers refused this proposal. There were at this stage 20,000 plus armed Republicans left in the field, which means Boers, Boer Republicans, out of an original Boer voluntary army of some 445,000 ZAR OFS.
Yes, the ZAR.
What's that? What is
signified,
that?
The ZAR signified the Zuid-Afrikaanse Republiek, which is the South African Republic.
Uh-huh.
That was the Republic of Transvaal, the Boer Republic of Transvaal. The republics consisting of the Boer Republic of Transvaal, which was also known as the Zuid-Afrikaanse Republiek, and also the Republic of the Orange Free State.
Yes. Okay, so he continues. So we've got originally 400. Now, they faced the Empire's army of 450,000 professional soldiers drawn from all over the globe, plus 30,000 indigenous black Africans recruited locally by the British. He asks the question, is this a fair fight when you are outnumbered 10 to 1? And see, we have the British regime under the Rothschilds orchestrating this war of extermination against the Boer people. And people outside of South Africa think, oh, well, this was just, you know, it's always been white people against black people. No, it's British, it's the Edomites, it's the Afrikaners and blacks against the Boer people.
That's right, Pastor. And because they could not outwit and outfight the Boers in a 100-to-1 ratio, what they then did was, 47 against 473,000 is the number that I have on my records, 473,000. But they also went and they bought, now hear this, they went and bought black slave soldiers from Africa, outside of South Africa. They went to...
He says 30,000 indigenous black Africans. I don't know if the word indigenous refers to Africa as a whole or within, you know, South African territory, but back to you.
Yeah. They also employed the Gurkhas of India. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
They employed the Gurkhas of India. They, of course, the countries, I have a list of all the countries that... offered to participate, and of course New Zealand offered a large consignment
of soldiers.
Australia a large consignment of soldiers, and then of course India, Britain, Scotland, Ireland, and also Canada.
Yes,
and
right.
Right.
This is really good. Excuse me for, you know, because this really kind of fills in the details of what you're talking about. These British were faced by Boer people. He says, then remember that the Boer Afrikaners, hailing predominantly from German soldiers turned nomadic farmers, were better marksmen. They knew the country to the smallest hillock, having traversed the terrain umpteen times before the war on hunting trips. So he does point out that the Boer people are of German origin, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I just want to correct something.
Okay.
So many people have been deceived by the very same Afrikaners that have oppressed the Boers for so many years, for 116 years at least, because the Afrikaners are doing exactly the same to the Boers what the Khazarian Jews or the Khazarians did to the Judahites by coming in amongst the Judahites,
right,
presenting themselves eventually as Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, and also taking control of the social life of the Judahites.
Yeah, you're talking about the days of Christ. You're talking about the days of Christ.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Now, what they did was they took control of the various aspects of the everyday life, the social life, the commercial, the financial, and then also the spiritual or the religious.
Well, they're doing that to America as we speak, right?
They're doing exactly the same thing.
And all of Europe.
I'm mentioning.
Yes.
They. And the Afrikaners are doing that. They are assimilating.
They're the traitors. Yeah, they're
Boers.
Yes.
They are assimilating Boers. They come amongst the Boers, and those are the ones that are being indicated in historically as the traitors and the joiners. And
So this would,
they would.
This would be ethnic cleansing by race mixing, by intermarriage, and
intermarriage. Absolutely. Yeah, and of course, the dominant. Well, even if you add a teaspoon of dog crap in a box of ice cream or a drum of ice cream, it's contaminated.
That's right. That's right. I wouldn't eat it, right?
Exactly.
So anyway, this looks like a really outstanding book. I just sent you the link. Anyway, he just concludes here that these Boers who were excellent sharpshooters, and he talks about their horses. Their mounts were the superior local breed of Boerpferd, the German word for horse is Pferd, Boerpferd.
That's right.
They were fighting for their independence, and above all, they firmly believed that God was on their side. The Boers were faced by a bunch of homesick redcoats, now wearing khaki, who had nothing to gain but the promise of going home. So started the last months of this 21-year war with the British Army's Scorched Earth Campaign versus the Boer people last stand guerrilla war, all in honor of the late gracious majesty Queen Alexandrina Victoria, Commander-in-Chief of the Global British Empire's Armed Force and Empress of India. Tell us more about how these Indians were being imported into South Africa to make war against the Boer people. It's amazing how many people were trying to exterminate the Boer people.
Pastor, I haven't actually covered the figures on that because I didn't deem it to be such an important issue. What I'm focusing on at the moment is the way in which the Afrikaners have subjugated the Boers and now pretend to be the so-called protectors of the Boers because they want to negotiate for and on behalf of the Boers. And at the moment, as we speak, there is an Afrikaner from the Afrikaner political party, the Freedom Front Plus. Now, the Freedom Front Plus, if you go and look at the registration of the Afrikaner people on the Unrepresented People's Organization website, you will find that they, I think it is UNPO 2148, and they have registered themselves with a flag that closely resembles the Boer flag. Now, the Boer flag is something that the Boers regard as an holy or it's a very precious thing to them, the Afrikaner vierkleur, the Boer vierkleur. But the Afrikaners have set up their own vierkleur, identical to the Boers, except that the red band at the top is orange. Now, you can recall when you visited, when we arrived at the Blood River event, the first thing that I saw was this Afrikaner flag. And you can recall how annoyed I was and the actions that I had taken. I became I wanted to go and rip that flag off because it is the symbol of Afrikaner domination over the Boers.
That's right.
That is the Afrikaner symbol of the oppression that they have now oppressed those that had actually advanced before them, because remember that they were quite conceited they were quite comfortable in the Cape as first of all subjects of the Dutch or the Dutch East Indian Company. They didn't have the guts to go inland and venture beyond what they deemed to be the incrossable or the insurpassable mountains. But the Boers did, because the Boers needed to survive. They were being oppressed from the day that they landed on the South African soil or the Cape soil. these Edomite Cape Dutch, they called the Cape the Cape of Storms, because for them it was just another financial and commercial venture.
Yes.
For the Boers, it was
right.
the Cape of Good Hope, because it presented to mm-hmm. them the freedom from the churches that dominated Europe, that wanted to kill whoever did not become a subject of their Christendom intimidation and Babylonian Empire.
Yes.
They wanted, so the Boers, having this Israelite blood in them, the blood of Jacob in them, they didn't see themselves as, they couldn't see themselves as subjects to a pope. They couldn't see themselves as subjects of a papal reformed church. That was not in their mindset. That was not part and parcel of what they knew as God's word to them. So they did not subject themselves to the Ottoman Islamites either, but they were being killed and beheaded by the Ottomans, and they were being killed and beheaded by the Roman Catholic Church, and then the proselyting by the Reformed churches. Now, the Reformed churches are still church, but the Boers then sought the freedom which they believed they would get coming to the Cape of Good Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they found themselves as subjects of the Dutch East Indian Company and the VOC.
Yes.
The Verre-Oosterse Compagnie. And wherever they moved, these Edomites parasited. There's no other word. They parasited on the Israelites. The Boers kept on moving away, and these
right.
parasites kept on following
well,
them.
What a Genesis 3, what a Genesis 3:15. That the seed of Nahash will be biting at our heels, right?
Exactly.
Nipping
Absolutely.
At our heels throughout history. The Jews have followed us around everywhere we go.
Yes.
We can't get away from them. Yeah.
Well, Pastor, and to this day, these Edomites are still with us, and still they have not conceded, they haven't subdued their attack on this the descendants on the house of Jacob.
Amen.
At all. They in
okay.
fact they have increased the ways in which they are subjugating the Israelites.
Yes.
With taxes, yes. with laws. And the only reason, Pastor, there is no make the Bible does not make provision for the setting up of human laws. The Bible has Yahweh's laws, and by abiding Yahweh's laws, you are also subjugated, or rather, you are also subject to the laws. It is also the humane laws. The most humane
right.
laws that you can find is Yahweh's laws.
That's right.
And the moment you find that, because of the way in which these Edomites operate, they reject Yahweh's laws and they institute
right.
their own laws. And the more laws that they have and the more laws that they find, the more corrupt they have become. In South
right.
Africa, in fact, in the first 3 years of the ANC government, now remember that the ANC government is a proxy government of the
yes.
Cape Dutch Afrikaner Jews, or the Cape
mm-hmm.
Dutch Afrikaners.
That's right.
Proxy.
Yes.
Because the ANC was only unbanned after all the top structure of the ANC had become Freemasons.
Right, right.
So
yeah.
so
yeah.
The Afrikaners did not relinquish control. They merely passed control to the blacks to further subjugate and kill the Boers. That's the only way they could think of doing it.
Yes.
Because they couldn't. They couldn't
right.
use the South African Air Force any longer to bomb the Boers, so they using proxy exterminators
mm-hmm.
without
right.
conscience.
Well, yeah, this expose here that you know, the British used black African soldiers against the Boer people, along with
yeah.
Afrikaners against the Boer people. I mean, this admission exposes the whole deal. And so what we're seeing and what you're trying to get across, we're hoping that many people, many whites in South Africa are listening, that the Boer people mm-hmm. are a totally separate group from the Afrikaners. A lot of Boer people falsely think that they're Afrikaners and vice versa, right?
And because of brainwashing policy.
Yes, right. And a part that I quoted from this book by Con Kruger, he says, the Boer people are descended from Germans, okay?
Yeah.
Not from the Cape Dutch.
Mistake that,
yeah.
He makes a particular mistake. The Boers are not well-trained soldiers, and they were not well-trained soldiers in Germany at all.
Okay, yeah.
They were farmers. They were primarily farmers.
They were self-taught marksmen. They were self-taught marksmen, yes.
Yes, they were self-taught marksmen, and they were the instigators or the people who started guerrilla warfare, and it was something that the British did not know anything about.
Right.
And that was one of the factors that gave them the edge on the battlefield.
Right.
And that was why
the
Boers, the smallest and the youngest nations and countries on the planet, outwitted and outfought.
Yeah, and actually defeated the British. Yeah, if it weren't for the traitors within.
The British.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. All right, Pastor, we're running out of time. So this has been an excellent discussion of the history of the, how should I put it, you know, the subversion of the Boer people by various people claiming to be their friends, all right? That's happening today all over the white world, folks. All right, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Pastor Martin, stay on Skype with me. I have to talk to you about a couple things, okay? All right, so folks.
Excellent, Pastor. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
And
thanks for listening.
Praise Yahweh.
Thanks, and here's the outro music.